This Week in Chicago History with Anna DeVlantis. Good morning, Anna. It hardly seems like 25 years since we lost Harry Carey, but 1998, huh?
How about it? 25 years ago, Bob. Let's let's all remember Harry Carey this week. Such a legend, and it is hard to believe that it has been 25 years. You know, I went back and I was just sort of looking at some of the videos from that time and the funeral and the number of fans that waited outside in the February cold to just pay their respects to Harry. Pretty incredible. Don't forget that it was pretty sudden too, the way it happened. I know he hadn't been in the best of health, but he was just having dinner with his wife, Dutchie. They were out in California and he suddenly collapsed. Never fully regained consciousness, and so a few days later, it was just a sad time in Chicago. Did you happen to go to the funeral, Bob? I know it was just like like a who's who, everybody in the city.
Yeah, it was quite something, especially Pete Van Aken's performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. So many wonderful speeches and tributes, a lot of moments of laughter in the church as well. It was held at Holy Name Cathedral. I think we pulled a little bit here. We can play some of that audio from inside Holy Name Cathedral after Harry Carey's death. Yeah,
this is Pete.
I heard Father Smith say the Mass of the Resurrection. Please, Father, don't resurrect him. We couldn't go through this again. Hey, what does it take to be such a close friend to Harry's? I said it's easy. Unlimited stamina, a cast iron stomach, keep your bag packed and your divorce lawyer on retainer. I was privileged to go with Dutchie to make the final arrangements at All Saints Cemetery. And I said, Dutchie, I'm glad you chose this type of interment, because Harry and I'd be driving and he used to laugh and he says, boy, when I die, I hope they don't cremate me, I'll burn forever.
Pete Van Aken, the owner of the Peoria Chiefs, and Harry would have loved it. Let's put it that way.
Oh, it was just so fitting, and it brought a tear to my eye watching some of those speeches. But there was so much laughter; I'd forgotten that. You'd just forgotten how much that he was. Oh, gosh, just legendary figure. And I did also see all the video of the people lining up for the fans who just wanted to make their chance to get up to the casket and pay their respects to Harry. And I saw that they had the microphone and his famous glasses on top of the casket. It was a closed casket, but I'd forgotten that detail, and it was just, I don't know, very moving to go back and look at that and remember Harry.
There was a time that Chicago was known for the ad agencies that were headquartered here, and you've got a bit of history about that and the Leo Burnett Agency. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Leo Burnett, Chicago-based ad agency, powerhouse for so many years, launched an iconic ad for Raisin Bran cereal this week in 1981 that literally catapulted that cereal into one of the top-selling cereals in the world. Kind of always came across to me, I don't know about you, Bob, but it's just like a very healthy cereal, but I maybe not all that appealing, but they put all these raisins in it, and the big marketing campaign was it was the two scoops of raisins that made it so successful, because it wasn't just a good-for-you cereal. It was also tasty and super sweet, like better than the others, because of these two scoops of raisins. Here's one of the early ads the first ads that they came up with for the two scoops of raisins campaign we pulled for you.
This temple crew has a plan, and they begin by digging into those two scoops in every Kellogg's pack. Two scoops. Keep them coming back for two scoops of plump, juicy raisins in Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Hooked up and in command, they're working now, but they're thinking how they lost two scoops and golden flakes of bran. Two scoops. They're turning back again for two scoops of plump, juicy raisins in Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
Wasn't there some sort of controversy about the two scoops? What was that all about?
Okay, that was so crazy, Bob, because, I remember that ad. That jingle has stuck in my head for years, and there were different iterations of that over the years. But about 10 years after that, a Reddit thread started that just went viral, and they were questioning whether or not Kellogg's was really adding two whole scoops of raisins. And people were carefully pulling out and meticulously all of the raisins in their cereal, and then taking a picture of how many raisins they had and showing how paltry it looked, and that it was really not two scoops in their opinion. And so this became a big controversy, and I don't know. I think the Science Magazine, they sent some investigative journalists on it, and he found that it really did vary from box to box. It was not a consistent thing. So then after that, Kellogg's vowed that they would standardize the number of raisins you get in your Raisin Bran cereal and put all that to rest. But pretty funny to think about that.
Combine social media and a lot of people with too much time on their hands, and you
totally.
Get the raisin controversy, right? Let's talk about this mystery that began around here in 1977, this week in 77, and the mystery continues, doesn't it?
You know, still to this day, no one really knows what happened to Helen Brock, Bob. You know, she was the widow of the man who founded the Brock's candy fortune, just fabulously wealthy, had no children, and she suddenly went missing. So interesting how it happened. She just left the Mayo Clinic. She was getting a routine checkup and was never seen or heard from again. Literally disappeared without a trace. There were very few people who had seen her after the time she left the Mayo Clinic. And after 7 years, they just legally declared her dead. Her fortune was handed over to her brother and various animal charities, too. But still to this day, no one has been officially charged in her murder. 10 years after her disappearance, police arrested this man that they suspected in her death. This was a man who had dated her a little bit and had been connected to running horse scams. He was in horse trading and apparently had sold her several champion horses that were later determined that they had falsified pedigree papers, were not really champions. He was sentenced to 30 years for fraud in connection to that, but never, ever connected to Helen Brock's murder or her disappearance. No one has.
An unsolved mystery for sure. A little Ramsey Lewis wade in the water and a little Chicago history, right, Anna?
Chicago jazz legend he was, that's for sure. Ramsey Lewis, that was his hit song that sold over a million copies. You know, at that point, Bob, he was already experiencing performance success for over a decade, but that was commercial success for him, and it just continued. One of the most successful, most celebrated, most respected jazz musicians of all time, you could say. You know, born in Chicago, took up piano at age 4, and became a jazz pianist. Just an incredible career. Started Ramsey Lewis and the Gentlemen of Swing in the 50s, and several of his fellow musicians from that band went on to form other bands, including Maurice White, who went on to form Earth, Wind, and Fire. Just successful for 6 decades. I don't know if you watched the Grammy Sunday, but they had in that tribute section, you know, that segment where they say goodbye to legends of music, Ramsey Lewis' name came up because he passed away, you know, just last fall.
Mm-hmm.
Last fall, 87 years old he was. But, you know, and a lot of people listening to Bob might remember him if you're a certain age as the morning host and the voice of Chicago's NUA jazz station for many years.
Yes.
Just and total gentleman.
So active at Ravinia, and what a great, great guy and great talent. And that single, Wade in the Water, came out this week in 1966, recorded at the old Universal Recording Studios in Chicago. All right, let's move on to the day a financial reporter on a cable channel went nuts here in Chicago. I love this story.
Do you remember this one?
I do.
Rant? I do, too. CNBC, total meltdown with Rick Santelli live on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade. This was, you know, you got to put it in perspective of where we were at this moment. This was 2009. We were in the depths of a housing crisis, and it was still stinging every day. There was just horrible news. Remember the big banks and the mortgage companies and everything they were doing with subprime lending. And then we got the news, and I'm pretty sure this is what led to the rant, that there would be this bailout, or at least they were considering, the government was considering a bailout for the big banks after their bad behavior. And that was all that Rick Santelli needed to hear, because he just lost it on live TV. And listen, and we pulled that rant.
How about this, President and new administration? Why don't you put up a website to have people vote on the internet as a referendum to see if we really want to subsidize the losers' mortgages, or would we like to at least buy cars and buy houses in foreclosure and give them to people that might have a chance to actually prosper down the road, and reward people that could carry the water instead of drink the water? This is America. How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage that has an extra bathroom and can't pay their bills? Raise their hand.
How about we all?
President Obama, are you listening? We're thinking of having a Chicago Tea Party in July. All you capitalists that want to show up to Lake Michigan, I'm going to start organizing.
That was live on CNBC. It was a crazy time, wasn't it?
It really was. The emotions were high, and, you know, from all around, you can think people were losing their homes, and there were all kinds of ideas about how to fix it. And I just thought it was interesting how all the guys on the trading floor got into it, too, and started cheering. You never really see them. They always just do their work behind the reporters, but there you go. They got super involved. You know, Rick Santelli, though, I will give him credit, because leading up to the crisis, he was one of the very cautious ones, Bob. He was sounding the alarm bells. And he's one of the financial commentators that was kind of pointing out some things that didn't seem right, whereas others took some heat, even his fellow colleagues took some heat for maybe being a little over-exuberant about the strength of the housing market in those months leading up to the crisis. But mm-hmm. It's a tough time all around, and we will remember that rant for a long time to come.
And he was reporting from, was it the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade? Is that where he was?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, he was there, and all the traders were back there, and they didn't even seem to pay attention until, you know, he just got so riled up that they started cheering and hooting behind him.
I love that. You've got a final item here about the Rotary Club. Are they still around? Do they still exist?
Still around. Isn't this incredible? And still quite a large membership, too. I was looking this up. 33,000 clubs, Bob. More than a million members around the world. Still headquartered in Evanston. Founded in Chicago back in 1905. They held the first meeting ever downtown Chicago. Named it Rotary because of the way they were kind of rotating from place to place for each meeting. And it's just kind of interesting to see, you know, the growth of this thing. You're right. Are they still around? I asked the same question, and I thought, well, they're thriving, apparently, around the world. Still have chapters everywhere. They just spread. It's crazy. You know, in 1910, they had a convention here in Chicago for all of the chapters from San Francisco to New York and everywhere in between. Just kept growing and growing. And I looked up the mission here because I wasn't sure. I'm like, is it socializing? Is it networking? Or what is it? But the mission is to bring business people together in the interest of service to the community. So there you go. Still strong. 33,000 clubs, more than a million members around the world today.
This week in 1905, a little Chicago history from Anna DeVlatis. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday morning. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Bob. Have a good one.